Today's shir is Masecht Baba Kama Daf Samach Vav, and we will begin on Daf Samach Hey Amid Beis, 8 lines from the bottom, Mask of Lord of Zera. In the previous shir, at the end of the shir, we had learned a machloikis between Rav Illa and Rav Chanina. Rav Illa taught us, that if somebody stole a teleh, the Nasa Ayil, an animal, when it's born as a teleh, until it's 13 months old and then it becomes an ayil. An eagle is a calf. An animal is a calf for the first 2 years of its life. And then afterwards it becomes a shor. So if somebody stole an animal when it was still only a calf, and then it became a shor under his possession, we have here a situation of shinu hashem. The ganef becomes the owner, and he no longer has any responsibilities for dal v'hei. He has to return the money, but he doesn't have any further responsibility. That was the opinion of Rav Illa. Rav Chanina quoted a brisa that said that that's not actually the case, where it says that he's still chayiv dal v'hei. Asked the Gemara on the brisa, on the opinion of Rav Chanina, maskler observing the knina b'shin Hashem, isn't there a shinu Hashem here when the animal becomes from an eagle to a shor, from a teleh to an ayil? So that should indeed create that the ganef is now the owner. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, there really is no shinu Hashem here. Because shor ben yoyim mekar shor, an animal when it's 1 day old is already a shor. Ayil ben yoyimai kari ayil. An ayil, as soon as it's born, is really an ayil. And the Gemara brings psukim to support that. Shor ben yoyim mekar shor diksiv, the pasuk says, shor eis. Shari Kesel Eis Kivalid. So you see, as soon as it's born, it's called a shor. Ayil ben yoyma kari ayil. And an animal, as soon as it's born, is really called an ayil. The ksiv, the eilut soincha loyachalti. We remember when Yaakov left the home of Lavan, and Lavan accused him of stealing from him. And Yaakov responds, the eilut soincha loyachalti, I didn't take anything of yours. So if we're going to say, then an ayil and a tleh, an ayil and a kevis, are not one and the same. So was Yaakov Avinu saying, ayil de loy ochel, kvosim ochel? Does it come to say that he only didn't eat take any elim, but he took kvosim? Of course that's not what Yaakov meant. Elalav, what was Yaakov Avinu saying? Shmamino, ayil ben yoy mekari ayil. And that's why there is no shinu Hashem. And since there's no Shinu Hashem, that's why it's not a problem. That's why, according to Rav, the Braisa, according to Rav Chanina, the Ganef is still, it's not considered that the Ganef took possession. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky asked obvious question. The previous Gemara, the last Gemara we learned, and we said it in our introductory remarks today, actually says that a Teleh, the first is it's a kevis, then it becomes an ayil. First it's an eagle, then it becomes a shor. And here we're saying that that doesn't really happen. The moment it's born, it's a shor. The moment it's born, it's an ayil. So what is the case? So he answers beautifully. He says, as soon as an animal is born, let's speak about a shor. It's both a shor and an eagle. It has both of those names. And then when it becomes 2 years old, it keeps the name shor and drops the name eagle. And the same is for a keves, an ayil. As soon as it's born, it has both names. And then when it becomes 13 months old, it drops the name of keves and remains solely an ayil. And then when the Torah tells us which animals should be used for which kabbanis, that's how to understand what the Torah means. The Mefarshim also explain that here we find the very significant difference between a person and an animal. An animal, shor ben yoyim ari shor. As soon as an animal is born, it's complete. A human, we know a child is born a baby, and he has to develop. And the Mefarshim give a number of reasons why is it so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created humans that were born as babies and we need to develop. I'll repeat the number of pshatim that I saw. One pshat I saw from the Chayvus Halvavus. The Chayvus Halvavus suggests that if a child were born with a full intelligence, and he'd come into this big world, this threatening world, he couldn't survive assuming that he could really make it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically creates us. We're not really understanding what we're getting into, so we shouldn't be overwhelmed. Another pshat that I saw from Avolba and Ali Shore, he says, we know the pasuk says, Shal avicha v'yagetcha zekanecha v'yoymelach. The proper way of living is that we have to take guidance from our parents, from our rabbonim. But if a person were born with fully intelligent, he would never have that situation that he would feel the need to take and learn from old people older than him, from his parents. But that's crucial to someone's success. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us in that way. And a third shot that I saw is that if a person, that there's a tremendous lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching us. You need to give things a chance to develop. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the human being, that it doesn't happen, he isn't created completely mature, he needs to slowly but surely mature. So too do other things in life need to happen slowly but surely and not tachap. Ask the Gemara, mikom makom kasha, but we still have a kasha. Reb Illa says that if an animal comes from an eagle to a shore, from a kevist to an isle, there's a shinu Hashem, and the ganef becomes the owner, the brisa we learned says differently. Answers the Gemara, Omrav Sheshes, Homani Beishamai. He. The tan of that brisa that we learned at the end of the shiur yesterday is Beishamai. The Omr Shinu Mekayim Medes. According to the opinion of Beishamai, Shinui doesn't make a difference. And V'loi Koni. And just because there was a Shinu Hashem doesn't give the ganef ownership. Where do we see Beishamai's opinion? We know the Torah says, Leisavi esnen zaynen u'mechir kelev beis Hashem l'kecha toivus Hashem gam shneim. The Torah is telling us that if somebody gives something to a prostitute for payment, you're not allowed to use that for the Beis HaMikdash. So says the Brisa, if somebody gave a prostitute an esnan chitin, wheat, vos and soilus, and they turned it into flour, zaysim, gave them olives, vossen shemen, turned them into oil, anovim grapes, vossen yain, and turned into wine. Tanichad osir, it still remains also what says one brisa. Tanichad and the other brisa says mutter. Vomrab Yosef, how do we reconcile these two brises? Tanigurian de misporek, Beshamai osir. Beshamai's opinion is that even if undergoes a change, it still remains osir. Beisil materin. Beisil says if undergoes change, it's still mutter. So the brisa that taught us yesterday that even though the animal underwent change, that doesn't make a difference, is the opinion of Beis Shammai. Ask the Gemara my time of Beis Shammai, on what is Beis Shammai base his opinion? The ksiv, gam, the Torah uses the words gam, l'rabbi shnuyehim. Even if they fundamentally change, they still remain, and it still remains in asnan. Beis Hillel, how does Beis Hillel explain the pasuk? Beis Hillel says, the pasuk says, haim, only the actual item that was given to the Zoyna remains Asa. However, V'loi Shinuyayim, if they undergo change, that is an Asa. Ask the Gemara, what does Beis Shammai do with the word Haim? Beis Shammai, Hahu Haim, V'loi V'loi the same Asa. Even though says Beis Shammai, I hold that if he undergo change, it still remains Asa. But if an animal was given to the Zoyna, and the animal has a baby, that baby doesn't have the status of an Esnan Zoyna. Machloikus Rishonim, how far do we take this opinion of Beis Shammai? Tosfos seems to learn, it makes no difference if the animal was pregnant when it was given to the Zoyna, or became pregnant afterwards. That child that's born is not considered an Esnan Zoyna. There are other Rishonim, however, differentiate that if the animal was pregnant when it was given to the Zoyna, then the child would be Osir. Only the child that's conceived afterwards is not Osir. Or Beis Hillel that used the word haim to teach us that even if there's a change, if there's a change, it becomes mutter. What will they say? Tan to shamat menei. They learn two dinim from this word haim. They learn haim v'loshnu yayim, that if they're transitioned, then it's no longer esten zainan. And also haim v'loshnu yayim, if they have the baby born to an esnan, is also not considered an esnan zainan. Ask the Gemara, or Beis Hillel, Ksiv Gam, Why will Beis Hillel do with the word gam? The Beis Shammai used the word to teach us that even shnu ehem, even if they change, they remain osur. What will Beis Hillel do with that word? It says the Gemara, gam will Beis Hillel kasha. The word gam is actually, we don't know what Beis Hillel will do with that word. But we know, and we've said this concept many times previously, that sometimes the Gemara asks a question that it doesn't answer and it leaves with the word tiyufta. And sometimes the Gemara asks a question that it doesn't answer and leaves with the word kasha. There's a very big difference. When the Gemara leaves with the word tiyufta, what the Gemara means to say is that there is no answer to this question. When the Gemara says kasha, it means that there is a teretz, just the Gemara is not giving it. So what is the teretz? Says the Teretz Chaim, and we'll use this concept a lot in the coming shiurim, that there are two types of shinui. There's a shinui that's chayz lebriyosai, there's a reversible change, and there's a shinui she'en a chayz lebriyosai. It's non-reversible. Even Beis Hillel that holds that a change does make a difference, and if it changes, it's no longer Esten Zoinon, that's only a non-reversible change. But if it's a reversible change, then Beis Hillel will agree that it has the status of Esten Zoinah. And that's what the pasuk of Gam comes to teach us. The word Gam comes to teach us that if it's a reversible change, it has the status of Esten Zoinah. Says the Gemara. At Kanloi Pligi, and this is the way Rashi and most Rishonim explain, till not a machloikus of Rab Illa and Rav Chanina, although the Ravid says what the Gemara means is the machloikus of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, we're going to learn like Rashi. El demasov is shinu kaina. Rav Illa's opinion is that a shinu makes a difference. Umasover, and Rav Chanina's opinion is that ain't shinu kaina. That shinu doesn't make a difference. Avol inyan shlume. But in terms of evaluating, assessing how much should be paid, it seems the kula al mikara kamishalim. That when we pay the dalva hay, how do we assess the value of the animal? We assess it and what it was worth when it was stolen. The tani, because in the brice that we learned at the end of the shiur yesterday, it said, Mishalm tashlume kefil, the tashlume arba v'chamisha, k'ein shiganef, at the value it had when it was stolen. Ask the Gemara, leim betavit tiyufta de Rav, isn't this a refutation of the opinion that we learned the Rav taught us, Dama Rav, the keren, the principle is evaluated, k'ein shiganef. However, Karen Kain Shigon of Mishalim. However, the Tashlumi Kefil, the Tashlumi Dalahei, Kishas Hamadabadin, there we evaluated what it was worth when the Tvichu Mechira took place, when the Din Torah took place, not at the moment when it was stolen. So how will Rav answer this Braisa? Answers the Gemara. Amarova, Tloim Kinami Koro, Domin Kishal Akshav. As the Machloikas, we showing him how to understand this Gemara. Rashi explains the Gemara as follows. If somebody steals an animal, when he pays back, he has an option. He could be paying back animals, or he could be paying back kish. He could be paying back money. So Gemara is teaching us, the Brice and Rava teaching us, says Rava, that if he's paying back animals, he does the evaluation at what type of animal, or what was the value of the animal he stole. If he's paying back cash, then we use the evaluation for kefil and for dal v'hei kishas hamod v'din. That's how Rashi explains. Tosfos quotes the Ri that has a different explanation. Tosfos says an animal could go up and down in value for one of two reasons. Either it could go up and down in value because the animal changes. It gets better or it gets worse. Or an animal could go down, up and down in value because there's price fluctuations. An animal is a commodity and there are price fluctuations. What the Gemara is saying, what Rav is saying, says the Ri, is as follows. If the animal went up or down in value because there was a physical change to the animal, then we follow what it was, Kain Shigonov, what the animal looked like when it was stolen, even for Kefil and even for Dal V'hei. But if the difference in price is based on Yukra V'zula, it was priced on a price fluctuation, then the Karen is evaluated, Kain Shigonov, and the Dal V'hei and Kefil are evaluated Kishas HaMod B'din. Omer Rava, says Rava, Shinui, this concept that we're learning, that if there's a change, kinda, it creates a situation that the Ganef becomes the owner, Ksiva, there's a pasuk that teaches it to us, V'tanina. And we actually learned it in the Mishnais. Ksiva, where do we see it in a pasuk? So ask the Rishonim, and the way we're learning the Gemara is very geschmack. We already have a Pasuk. The Pasuk of Esnan Zoyna, that Beis Hillel says, that we see that if there's a change, it's no longer Asur, teaches us that a Shinui makes a difference. Answer the Rishonim. The Pasuk of Esnan talks about, as we said earlier, a Shinui She'enachayz L'Briyosai, a non-reversible change. Rav is looking for a pasuk that teaches us that even a reversible change has halat, makes a difference in the halacha. Says Rav, because the pasuk says the heishiv is agzela shagozel, matam aloy ma shagozel. What does the pasuk mean when it says ashagozel? Im ke'en shagozel yachs. Im ke'en shagozel. If it's the same as it was when it was stolen, then yachsir. Then you should return the actual item you stole. Then la. But if there was a change, then you have to pay just the value. And I want to make a number of points. The first point I want to make is a point that I remember when I learned this perek as a young boy, that people make a mistake. Even if we're learning shinui kaina, it doesn't come to say that if there was a shinui, now he's free. He's free from paying back the item that he stole, but he still has to pay the money that he owes for stealing. Another point, machloikas achroinim. How does the halacha view what happened with a shinui? Machloikas Rabbi Chanan and the Nesivos. Rabbi Chanan says that really when somebody steals something, he becomes the owner of the item. However, since the Torah obligates him to return that item, so that obligation prevents him from taking full ownership. But when that obligation is removed, when there's a shinui, now he's the full-fledged owner. That's how Rabbi Chanan learns. The Nesivos learns differently, and I'll explain their opinions in a moment better. The Nesivos learns that at the moment that the Torah exempts him from returning the actual item that he stole, at that moment he becomes the owner. What is the difference between the Nesivos and Rabbi Chanan? As follows. A ganef stole something today. 10 days later, there's a shinui. And our Gemara says if there's a shinui, he becomes the owner. When does he become the owner from? According to the opinion of Rabbi Chanan, he becomes the owner from the moment he stole it. Just until there was a shinui, the chiv of Hashava prevented him from taking full ownership. When that chiv goes off, he's the owner from the moment of the geneva. According to the Nesivos, he only becomes the owner from the moment that it changes. At that moment, he becomes the owner. Tanina. Now Rava continues to say that this concept we also learn in the Mishnah. So ask the Rishonim, if we have a Pasuk to teach us the consequences of Shinui, why do we need a Mishnah? Answer the Rishonim, because as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, in tomorrow's shir, that this Pasuk is actually can be used to teach us that we learned in the previous Shiurim, that if somebody lies by falsely claiming that something was stolen, and then he admits to the truth, he has to pay a chaymish. But let's say somebody's father said that lie. You don't have to pay a chaymish for your father's lie. That's what the Pasuk is teaching us. So the Pasuk isn't teaching us the halacha of shinui. So Rav is now looking for another source for shinui. What is that source? We're going to learn a Mishnah that says, Hagoizel Eitzim, if somebody steals wood, Vosim Kalim, and he turns the wood into a keli. Tzemer wool, vasim begadim, and turn them into a garment. Mishalim shas hagzela. So we see that the shinui is kaina. Inami, or there's another Mishnah. So again, the Rishonim ask, if a Rav already quoted one Mishnah, why is he looking for another Mishnah? So the Rishonim answer, as we're going to learn, we're going to speak about it more tomorrow, there's a concept of takonas hashavim. That even though the halacha is that I should really return the actual object that I stole, Chazal were lenient, otherwise person will not feel comfortable. If a person already used it or has it, he's not going to want to return it. So maybe the halacha is that shinui is not koina. Either Mishnah says that I don't have to return it, that's only because of takanas hashavim. So now the Mishnah gives us another, that rather gives us another source that shinui is koina. But a word of introduction. We know there are 24 matnas kuna. The 24 things that the Torah says we have to give to the Kohen. One of the things we have to give to the Kohen is Reishis Hageiz. The first shearings of wool that we cut off from an animal we have to give to the Kohen. Says the Mishnah, Lohispik litnaloi. If somebody did not give the rachis agaz to the koyin achit sova until he dies it, potter. Alma, so we see that he, how does he make the kinyan? By making the shinui koina. So now, just to explain this gemara the way the Rishonim explain it. Number one, a few important halachas. The Rishonim say that this shinui, that it becomes the person who dies it, is only if he dies all of the rachis agaz. But if there's some rachis agaz that he didn't die, that rachis agaz he still has to give to the kohanim. The Rosh goes on to say that when he makes the shinui, he has to have intent, kavona, to be koinet. But that is a question, based on what I said a moment ago. If the halacha is that all shinui does is that now becomes the ganifs, but it doesn't exempt him from having to pay back to the nignaf, so why doesn't he have to give the koyin? Maybe he doesn't have to give him the actual wool, but why doesn't he have to give him the value of the wool? So we're going to learn the sugya mitzashem, daf tzadik dalet, but the explanation is as follows. If I steal something from you, and I made a shinui, so as we said earlier, the din is I don't have to give you the actual object, but I have to give you the value. Why? Because you are the owner of this object. Here there's no specific owner of the rachis agaz. There's no one koyin that's entitled to the rachis agaz. I have to give it to the kohanim, but since there's no specific koyin who could claim ownership to this rachis agaz, so is in the category of mom and shein leitayvim, and he does not. And if there was a shinui, and as the Rosh says, he intended to be koyinet with the shinui, he doesn't have to give the value to anybody. Now begins the Gemara Nusoya, which we're going to be discussing a lot. Yish. If the owner was Miyash, gave up hope from getting this item. Amri Abonin, Chazal said the Nikni. It becomes the Ganifs. And I saw the Chassidish Sforim say, why is that the Halacha? Why is Yish, as we're going to learn in the coming Shiurim, so powerful? So the Chassidish Sforim say, because a Jew is never allowed to be Miyash. A Jew is never allowed to give up. And if a Jew gives up, he deserves to be punished that he shall lose. Yish, Amri Rabbanan Diknikni. Miu, Lo Yadinan, Idaraisa, Idrabanan. Is this a concept of Idaraisa or Midrabanan? Idaraisa, Mididahava Moitza Veda. Just like the halachi is, that if somebody finds something, the halachi is that it becomes his. And Rashi says, there's Machlokes Rashi Taisus, where do we know this from? Rashi says, the Pasuk says, if somebody loses something that he lost it, but it's available, so then I have to pick it up and give it back. But let's say it's lost, that nobody could get it, it was thrown into the sea, so there's Yiyush, and the person that picks it up could keep it. Taisus uses a different source, a source that's all well known to us from Perek Elam Metzias. Let's say somebody loses something that has no simon on it. So the halacha is you don't have to return it. Why? Because if there's no simon, dollar bill, there's automatic yush. So just like we see by an aveda, if the owner was miyash, I'm allowed to take it. Midah have a moitz aveda, moitz aveda, lav kivin the miyash mar minei mikam the taste liyode. Since the owner is miyash, konalei, it becomes the person who finds it. Hai nami by gneva too. If the owner was Miyash, kivim the Miyash mori konilei, it becomes the ganifs. Alma, the midaraisa, yish, affects the kinyan. So the Rabbeinu Peretz asked the obvious question. By an aveda, when is the yish? Before I find it. By a gneva, the yish is only after I took it. Which actually the Gemara is going to make that argument. So how do we compare the two situations? Says the Rabbeinu Peretz, the Gemara is not looking to make a perfect comparison. The Gemara is just trying to show the strength of the concept of Yiyush. Adima, lo adimi la aveda. Why? Aveda hu dichios liyodei, veteros liyodei. If I pick up an aveda, I didn't do anything wrong. Avo, hi, here, the ganif, how did he get this item? Kivin to be sura osel liyodei. He picked it up, he shouldn't have taken it. Midrab, it's only midrabanan who the amir rabbanan nicknay. It's only midrabanan that it becomes here, his, because mitkanas hashavim. And as the Rechroinim explain, since he has an obligation, there's two ways of understanding it. Either because I have an obligation to return it, that obligation to return it prevents it, even though there's yiyush, from becoming mine, or the iser that I did, that I was a ganef, prevents yiush from letting it become mine. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Rabbi Yosef holds, yinush and kaina, even if there was yiush, doesn't make a difference, even if the rabbanan doesn't become the ganefs. So we have here a very fundamental machloikis, amaroim, which we're going to discuss. Does yiush make it the ganefs or not? Eisei Rabbi Yosef l'rab. Ask Rabbi Yosef to rabbi the following question. We're going to learn a Mishnah later in the Perek, in the Masechta. Gozel chametz, wavel over Pesach. I steal chametz from you, and then I have the chametz over Pesach. We know chametz shavel over Pesach is really worthless, because chametz shavel over Pesach is usher, you're not allowed to use it. So I steal chametz from you, and now I keep it over Pesach. And after Pesach, I decide to be a tzaddik. I'm a racial chalfanacha. Here, I'll give it back to you. So now let's think about it. The halacha is that it's mutter. Why? Because I'm giving you back what I stole. When I took it from you, it had value. And now when I'm giving back to you, it has no value. This way, Rabbi Kivega and the Beis Ephraim learned the Gemara. There's a concept that we've discussed of Hezek Shein Nikar. It maybe doesn't have any value. But that is to the rest of the world, to you, who knows that it's Chomet Shavu Pesach, has no value. But to everybody else, it looks like a good piece of bread. It looks like a good box of pasta. Now, let's think about it, asked the Gemara. V'hai, kiven demot zman idin asura. If I stole chametz from you, and now Pesach comes, v'ad miyash, you don't want this chametz. You're miyash from the chametz. V'isak adat chiyush koina, if we're going to say that yiyush accomplishes, that it becomes mine, so now it's mine, the ganefs. So my oimalai reshul chalafanecha. How can I say reshul chalafanecha? It's not mine, it's yours. And therefore, now that it's mine, I shouldn't be able to say reshul chalafanecha. Rather, the may ma'al yaboy shlumalai. I would have to give you back the value. But I can't give you the actual item. The item is not yours. You were miyash. I became the owner, the ganef. Oimalai. So the Gemara answers. Ki kamina no ze miyash v'zeh roitzalikness. Even the man, the Omer, that holds the Yiyush is koina, what does Yiyush do? That if the owner is Miyash, and the Ganef wants to buy it, the Ganef wants to take a Kinyan, so his Kinyan can be effective. Hi, but in this situation, from a Ganef, Zeh Miyash, the owner is Miyash, however, the Zeh ain't a right to likness. The Ganef doesn't want to take ownership of Chametz, so even though we have Yiyush of the owner, Yish of the owner is not enough if it isn't combined with the ganef wanting to make a kinyan. And the achrayim make a very important observation. So yish and hefker are not identical. Because if somebody is mafker something, it's no longer his. The fact that somebody else did or didn't take ownership of it is relevant. By yish, that's not the case. If you're miyash from something, it doesn't mean that it becomes no longer yours until the other person takes ownership of it, in this case, the ganef. And until somebody else takes ownership, it remains yours. This is the way most achroinim learn the Gemara. There's a very interesting psak from the Noida Behuda. The Noida Behuda says that even though we just said there's a din of chametz shavel over Pesach, that any chametz you own over Pesach, Chazal said, becomes osur, is prohibited after Yontif, says the Noida Behuda, let's say somebody stole something from you, and you didn't have access to that chametz over Pesach, and now it's returned to you after Pesach, there is no gzeira of chametz shavel over Pesach. Why? Because when is there a gzeira of chametz shavel over Pesach, says the Noida Behuda? Where you had access to this chametz, and you shouldn't have, but here you had no way of getting rid of the chametz. It wasn't in your possession. It was by the ganef. It was by the gazlan. And therefore, there's no chametz shavel over Pesach. And if it's returned to you, you could use it. Very bechiddush. No, you can't be mevatel something that's not in your rishos. Now, what about the gazlan? Let's say the gazlan. So the Noida Behuda says the gazlan also doesn't have an isser of chametz shavel over Pesach. He says the only time you have an isser of chametz shavel over Pesach on something which is truly yours, not something that we want you to give away, give back. Very bechiddush Noida Behuda. All the achronim argue on the Noida Behuda. Then there's a very interesting Pesachei Tshuva. Pesachei Tshuva says as follows: our Gemara is saying that if somebody stole chametz and gives it back after Yontif, He could tell the person, Haresh Khalafanecha. Even if he can't have any use from it, we're not learning the Noida Behuda's Pshat because it's Chomet Shovel of a Pesach. So says the Prima Gadim, the Pesach Tshuva quotes him, well, I, it's a Hezek. So we said it's a Hezek Shein Anikam. What will be the halacha if I steal from you, you have an expensive Esrik, and I steal it from you Erev Sukkos, then after Sukkos I give it back to you, I say, Haresh Khalafanecha, here's your Esrik back. So says the Prima Gadim, it's the exact same thing. It's a Hezek Shein Anikam. And therefore, I could say, Reisha Kalafanecha, I don't have much to do with an Esrog after Sukkos. That's the Prima Gadim. Says the Pesach Tshuva, and he compares it to the case of Al Gemara, of the Chomet Shovel of a Pesach. Says the Pesach Tshuva, you can't compare an Esrog to Chomets. Why? Because if somebody has Chomets after Yontif, so we all eat Chomets after Pesach. Just if you know it's Chomet Shovel of a Pesach, you know how to eat it. But there's nothing inherently wrong with Chomets after Pesach. That's what we all live on. An esrog after Sukkos, no one has any use from. So you can't call giving back an esrog after Sukkos a hezek shen and nicker. It's of course nicker that nobody has any use for an esrog after Sukkos, and therefore says the Pesach Tshuva, he quotes Achroinim, that if somebody stole an esrog erev Sukkos, and then after Sukkos, he comes, because he learned the Al-Shir, and he says, HaReisha Cholofanecha, hezek shen and nicker, it won't work. So now I ask the Gemara another kasha, kabonoi v'loy ha'gozum. Somebody could bring a carbon, but he can't bring something that was stolen as a carbon. Ask the Gemara hechidomi, exactly what is the situation? Ilem lifnei yiyush, if it was before yiyush, lomali kra. Obviously, if I stole a carbon from you, and you weren't miyash, so I can't bring it as a carbon, it's your carbon. Shita, elalaf, it's lachiyush. The pasuk is speaking about achi yish and shmami no yish like kani, because it was yish kaina. How could I? What do you call it? Then why can't I bring it as a carbon? So the Rishonim explain what kind of carbon are we talking about? If you made it a carbon chatas, it could only come for your avera. Not only could only come for your avera, said the Rishonim, you can't take a carbon chatas from one avera that was designated for one avera and use it for a different avera. The same with a toida oila shlomim. You can't change ownership that it should be your carbon and I should be able to use it. So what carbon are we talking about? So the Rishonim give two examples. One is carbon Pesach, because the halacha is you can sell your share in a carbon Pesach. Or another example the Rishonim say, that according to Rabbi Yosef, kach kalim is mum and balim can be sold. Ramosha uses this Gemara to teach us a very important lesson. He says this in the Tshuvas. He says, Karbonei v'loi agozel, that you have to be careful what you donate for Hegdish. And he says, if somebody has money or assets that he received or obtained illegally, he can't give that for tztaka. Karbonei v'loi agozel, you can't give tztaka something that you obtained illegally. Omer le rava ulatamei chod tanya mishkova v'loi agozel. The halacha is, there's a special din by a zov, that any bed, mattress, chair that a zov sits on becomes tamei. Says the Braisa, mishkova v'loi agozel, that if the zov sat on a chair that he stole, then it doesn't become tumas medris. Taisa says, it's not talking about a chair. Because a chair is a chair. A bed is a bed. We're talking about, let's say you have a piece of material. So a piece of material that you sit on also becomes tumas medris. Teaches us the Braisa, that's only if you own that. But if you stole it, it's not going to get Tumas Medris. It's again, ask the Gemara, Hechidomi, exactly what are the circumstances here? Elam the Gozel Amra, that somebody stole wool, Vavde Mishkav, and he turned it into a couch. Mikel Amanda Amra, Shinui Maislaikani. There certainly was a Shinui. This was a significant Shinui. He transformed it from wool into a couch. Everybody will agree that it becomes the property of the ganef. Elamais l'chumema, the gozel mishkav de chavrei. Somebody stole somebody else's couch, or somebody else's piece of material, and it can become hachinami, the gozel carbon de chavrei. If you stole somebody else's animal, if there was yiyush, you could bring that animal as a carbon. If you stole an animal that was already designated as a carbon, and the way that we should explain it, so it's already brishus hegdish. Something that's yours, so the Gemara is suggesting you could be miyash, And I, the Ganuf, can now take ownership of it. But if you were Magdish it already, so it's not yours to be Mayash. It belongs to Hegdish. And wherever it is, it's Hegdish. And wherever it is, Hegdish is now Mayash, and therefore I can't use it for myself. There is a Machlokes Rishonim. Interesting Machlokes Rishonim. Let's say there's a carb animal that you designated as a carbon, and I stole it. So the Gemara is clearly teaching that I can't bring it as a carbon on my behalf. Machlokes Rishonim, but I want to be a nice guy. I'll bring the carbon on your behalf. Will that work or not? Machlokes Rishonim, if it would be effective. Eisei Abayel Rabbi Yosef asked by Rabbi Yosef, the Mishnah teaches us from Sechta Kalim. The halacha is that there are two ways that a piece of leather could become a keli, that it should become susceptible to become tamei. One is that you fashioned that leather into a keli, or you decided that as far as you're concerned, this is it. That's already considered a keli for you. So says the Mishnah, Arush HaBal Bais, if I own a piece of leather, and I decided that this piece of leather is fully processed as far as I'm concerned, machshava, that machshava, metamosim, makes it susceptible to Kabbalah's tumah. However, v'sha'avdon, if you are a person that is a person that works with leather, and you have a piece of leather, even though maybe you thought that as far as you're concerned, this piece of leather is finished processed, that's not enough. Why? Because I may walk into your store and tell you, you know what, that piece of leather, I'd like you to fashion it to a shoe. So you'll do whatever I ask. Shaganef, by a ganef, machshav metamosim. The ganef is considered an owner because, and the Gemara is going to explain, because the Gemara assumes by a ganef, the owner is miyash, but shagazlon, a machshav metamosim. Why? So the explanation and the opinion of Tanakam is as follows. A ganef, the owner doesn't know who stole it. So ganef owner, if something was stolen from me and I don't know who stole it, I'm quick to miyash. A gazlan, as we explained earlier, the owner does know who is the person that stole it. And therefore, the owner is not so quick to miyash. Rav Shimon, I'm a chilif devarim. Rav Shimon holds just the opposite. Shagazlan, by a gazlan, mechshava metamoson. If somebody had the chutzpah of stealing something from in front of me, that means he's a very strong individual. And that's why I'm a yash. V'shalganov, eim etamosan, ain't got him etamosan. If you're not such a strong person, that you'll only steal something from me when I'm not looking, so I'm not so quick to be miyash. V'fishloinus yash v'abalim. But whatever we learn, either we follow the opinion of the Tanakama, or we follow the opinion of Shimon, we see that according to the Tanakama, there's yiyush by a ganef. According to Shimon, there's yish by a gazlan. But whatever we learn, we see yish kaina, that yish makes it become the property of the ganef or the gazlan, whichever opinion we follow. But before we go, so here we see that yish is kaina. So Abai is asking you, Rabbi Yosef holds, that yish is not kaina. What are you going to do with this brisa? So before we go further, the Chazanish makes a very important observation here in helping us understand the concept of yish. He says, we find here a machlokes between the Tanakam and Rav Shimon. Tanakam holds that by ganef there's yish, Rav Shimon holds by a gazlan there's yish. What do we see here, says the Chazon Ish? We see that yish is not an absolute. You know, there are certain things that are absolute facts. The day of the week is an absolute fact. You can't debate it. He says, in every situation in life, there's a level of yish, and there's a level of tikva, of hope. Now, it's the job of the Chachamim to see which prevails, the Yiyush or the Tikva. So Rav Tanakama has one perspective, and Rav Shimon has another perspective. So he says, it's beautiful to see. Nothing is black and white. There's a little Yiyush and there's a little Tikva. The only question is, which is the prevailing force? Amalek. But the question again is, here we see that Yiyush makes it the Ganefs or the Gazlans. And so the Gemara, Chumai Skinen, Shekitzan. That it's not just that there was yish, but the ganef actually made a change in it. He cut it. So as Tosfos, we just learned before that if the shinui maisa, everybody agrees that it's koina. So what do I need yish? So Tosfos, and we're going to learn the Gemara as Tosfos teaches it to us. If there's a significant maisa, you don't need yiyush. Here, the kitzon is not such a significant act. When you have an insignificant act, you need it to be combined with yiyush. Maskula Rabbi Baruch Chana, v'lei itzva shanukan. We're talking here about a piece of leather, machlok is showing what it was used for. Some say it was used as a mat, others say it was used to put on the horse when you rode on it. Vitza ain't srichen kitzua. It doesn't need any shini maisa. The knan, komokoim, shein chsar moacha. Anything that doesn't need an act done to it. Machshava metamasa. Just your decision to use it as is makes it into a keli. Yesh chsar moacha. But if it needs an act done to it, ein machshav metamasan. Chutzman itzva. Then itzva doesn't need any malacha. So how he's saying that there was a maisa done by the ganef or the gazlan, there's an itzva. An itzva doesn't do, there's no act done to it. Ela merova. Hom milsa kosh by Rava or Rav Yosef. Rava asked this question to Rav Yosef at Esrim v'tartan shnin for 22 years. V'lo ifrika. And he wasn't able to answer. Ad the Yosef Rav Yosef bereisha until Rav Yosef became the Rosh Yeshiva or Pirka. And there's a machlokes to understand what does this mean. 22 years he had the question, and now he answers it. One answer is as follows. Rashi says this in Masechta Ksubis. There was a question who should be appointed the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Yosef or Rava. Rava was a very big lamdan. Rabbi Yosef was a very big baki. He was a Sinai. He knew a lot. But he wasn't known as a lamdan. So they appointed Rava to be the Rosh Yeshiva. After Rava was Nifter, they appointed Rabbi Yosef. But Rabbi Yosef had this reputation, had this label, that he's not such a big Talmud Chacham, he's not such a Lamdin. So that Minashemayim, they helped them answer a question that they had for 22 years. 22 years they had a question. So it's obviously a very difficult question. They helped them answer it so he could repair his reputation. You see, he is a Lamdin. There's a difficult question, and he can answer it. That's one pshat. Another pshat that the Mefarshim give is as follows. The Gemara says that when somebody is appointed to a new position, he's a different person. That's why Marchon Leikol Avonaisov. That's why Chosin Marchon Leikol Avonaisov. He's a new person. So Rabbi Yosef learned the concept of Shinui Maisa and Shinui Hashem, what it means to be different. Because till now he was the regular Rabbi Yosef, now he's the Rosh Yeshiva. And that's why he could speak to Shinu Hashem, because he personally was experiencing it. Shinu Hashem, Shinu Maisa. Here is a Shinu Hashem. Till now it was a piece of leather, now it's an itzva. Shinu Maisa, Maitama, Hasimi Kara Eitzim. Why is a Shinu Maisa considered significant? Because you started with wood, and now you have a keli. Shinu Hashem, Nami, Mikari Karle Mashcha. At the beginning it was just a piece of leather, the hashta avrizin, now it's an itzva. And again, Tosfos repeats this concept. Tosfos says, from here we, that if you have here a Shinui Hashem, and the Gemara is saying that Shinui Hashem is so significant, that's considered like a Shinui Maisa, why do you need Yiyush also? And it says, Tosfos, since it's insignificant, a piece of leather that's just a piece of leather, or a piece of leather that's used as a mat, is not really that different, so that's why you need to couple it, combine it with a Shinui Mais, with a Shinui, with a Yiyush. Before we end the shir, the Shem Tzion Balocha quotes a Gevaldig Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, we see here as follows. They had a kasha. They had the question for 22 years. It took them 22 years to get an answer to the question. So even though they had this difficult question, very hard time getting an answer to the question, we don't find that they changed the halacha. What is the lesson of this Gemara, says the Chassam Sofer? We have kashas sometimes in halacha. We don't understand. But that doesn't give us a right to touch the halacha. The halacha has to be kept the halacha. It has to be respected and be kept in place. We have a kasha. We have a kasha. If a Kodesh Baruch Hu will help, maybe it'll take 22 years, we'll get an answer to our kashas.
When there's yiyush, do you still have to